The air changed first. That's how you know you're not imagining it. When you wake up one morning in London, smells different. Less sunscreen, more chimney smoke. The light is cooler, too, almost blue at the edges. Thin, silver-edged. The kind of light that makes you feel like the world is holding its breath. Like the city is slowly dimming the house lights before the next act. Autumn always feels like a deadline, but a romantic one. The kind written in fountain pen on thick stationery. It tricks me into thinking I can start over. Maybe it's the school supply displays and shop windows, all those clean notebooks and pencils lined up like a dare. The promise that this year I might keep things in order, that I might not let the pages get messy. It never works, of course. The notebooks end up half filled with lists and bad ideas, and I end up right back where I started. Only colder. The leaves are staging their annual costume change, all burnt orange and oxblood. And meanwhile, I'm over here trying to match their energy, but mostly just feeling tired. Not sad tired, not busy tired, more like I need the world to slow down just long enough for me to catch up to myself, tired. Maybe that's why I notice the little things more this time of year. Even the sound of the city has changed. Boots slap against wet pavement, buses sigh in the distance. The hours, the people, even the sky seems in a hurry to turn dark. My breath hangs in the air a moment too long, like it's daring me to catch up. The city hums, pushes, insists. Slow down, motherfucker. Sorry, that was rude. Let me try that again. Please slow down, motherfucker. That's directed at myself, not you. It's not the most graceful thing I've said to myself lately, but sometimes subtlety just doesn't land. This isn't a moment for a gentle encouragement. This is a moment for the verbal equivalent of a bucket of cold water. You see, I did too much. Again. You may have noticed my absence, or maybe you didn't, in which case, wow, okay, that stings, but either way, I've been running myself ragged. Not intentionally, but it turns out that perfectionists can absolutely overcommit even when they're actively trying not to. My version of too much might still look slow to some of you, but trust me, my inner critic is holding a stopwatch and screaming like a drill sergeant. Maybe it's age, maybe it's London, maybe it's just who I am at this point. A person who says yes when I should absolutely, unequivocally, be saying no. Because the thing is, it's hard to say no, especially to new people, especially as a people pleaser. There's always that little voice whispering, if you don't show up, they'll move on, they'll forget about you. You'll be the flaky one, the unreliable one. So I keep showing up, even when I'm half-baked at best. Frazzled, exhausted, barely functioning. But the truth is, if I can't even make it through the day on my own, how am I supposed to show up for anyone else? One morning recently, I woke up and couldn't move. Not in a paralyzed with existential dread kind of way, but in a did someone replace my body with a bag of rocks kind of way. My brain was in a similar state, blank, sluggish, and weirdly resistant to being useful. Taking Raffi for a walk felt as achievable as scaling Everest, and by the time I made it to the kitchen, I decided that the day could handle itself. Emotionally, it was a chaotic blend of everything I'd been putting off, crying, laughing, wanting to scream, but with no clear target. I'd hit a wall, except it felt like the wall hit me first. London has a way of making you feel like you're on a treadmill that speeds up every time you catch your breath. I've been busier here than I ever was in Vancouver or LA, combined, and somehow I'm still haunted by the idea that I'm not doing enough. Like there's an invisible countdown clock on my time here, and if I don't squeeze out every possible ounce of seeing and doing, I'll have failed at what exactly? London's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. So why the rush? I kept telling myself I just needed to get through one more thing, one more sight, one more dinner, one more new and, of course, brilliant, creative idea. But the list never ends, does it? There's always another thing, and then another. Cue the burnout. Creative burnout, emotional burnout, physical, mental, you name it, I've probably hit the trifecta. It's partly the whole doing life alone thing. It means every task, no matter how small, becomes an odyssey. I'm not just the hero on the quest, I'm also the villain, the sidekick, and the narrator complaining about the plot holes. When everything falls on you, every errand, every bill, every existential crisis, it doesn't leave a lot of room for the softer things like self-care or joy or remembering to eat dinner. I'm not complaining, really, I'm not. I signed up for this. I moved to a new city on my own for the fresh start, the grand adventure. I just forgot to account for how heavy the baggage I brought with me would be. Recently, I told my therapist, I'm trying really hard in regards to, well, life. And she just smiled in that infuriatingly calm way therapists do. That's the point, she said. You don't need to try so hard. Just allow yourself to surrender into it. It's just what is, and all we really have is to let go into that trust. Let go. Trust. Surrender. It sounds poetic, but in practice, it's like trying to stop a moving train by just waving the driver down. It feels impossible, and yet the world keeps whispering at me to stop pushing so hard. My therapist says it, my body says it, the way I keep forgetting basic words in conversation definitely says it. So I'm trying to listen. Slowing down isn't some big epiphany moment, it's mostly me lying on the couch, wondering if I could make a career out of ceiling staring. Some days it's dragging myself outside with Raffi, not because I have to, but because I've started to realize that fresh air might actually be as good as people claim. It's eating toast and calling it dinner without the usual guilt, and it's finally putting my phone on silent and realizing nothing imploded while I was gone. Slowing down doesn't come naturally to me, but I'm learning that when you stop running, you actually notice where you are. It isn't glamorous, but it is oddly effective. I started to notice the small stuff again, the crunch of leaves underfoot, the way cold air clears your head, and the weird relief of letting everything else wait. Funny how taking a step back lets you notice the parts of your life that have been begging for space to breathe, to cry, to scream, to just be. When all you do is forge ahead, you miss the surroundings. You miss the quiet moments, the silly ones, the ones that make life feel less like a checklist and more like life. I think I knew this would happen when I moved here. The whole idea of London felt romantic in that I'm reinventing myself way, but deep down, I suspected it would be more of a deconstruction. And here I am, being deconstructed in real time. It's not graceful, but it's honest. So if you're still watching this, and let's be real, you're probably on your phone, put it down. Step outside, blast your favorite song and dance like a lunatic, or scream into a pillow, or just sit still for a second and look around. And for the love of God, slow down, motherfucker. Trust me, life doesn't stop when you slow down. If anything, that's when it finally starts.